May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 143. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Hymn 143. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations 3.
Lamentations chapter 3. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast reproved my soul, removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. Then I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. For though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercy. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare is come upon us, desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission, till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imagination against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rose up against me, and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. Let us pray. O most high and holy eternal Lord God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, how we bow before thee this evening, thou knowest, and thou seest our hearts. Or we would approach the mercy seat, the way marked with the blood of Jesus, now entered into glory, not without blood, or his own sacrifice, a life for sin, to satisfy the holy law of justice. Oh, that God can now look with pleasure upon the church chosen in Jesus. Open our eyes to understand these truths in a personal way. May we seek an interest here. Lead thy people to have that personal knowledge, a tremendous thing, a great blessing, beyond all understanding. Who can describe the blessing of the Lord that no tongue can tell, or what the quietness and blessing from on high it means to every living soul? All that visit, all that hope shining, oh, do favour us. Here we are, we come, pleading Jesus' name for our life, to put away all our sins. Oh, blot out my transgressions. Oh, Lord, we have to cry, pardon our iniquity, for it is great. But there is a fountain opened. There is. How we need leading to the feet of the Lamb. Lead us to the foot of the cross. Oh, draw us nigh, draw us on. Have mercy on us, having to confess so much neglect, so much spiritual laziness, spiritual inertia, how we have to come confessing a wandering mind, Lord, and forgetful of thy mercies. But, O Lord, thou wilt, O deal with us as sons, O Lord, not as aliens. Oh, dear with us as sons, we pray, and may we know thy leading in our hearts to thy wounded side, O Lamb of God. Holy Father, have compassion. Thou hast had compassion thus far. Thus far my God has led me on. Oh, and that is true. May thy grace and mercy known. My hopes and fears all turn arise, and comfort mingle with my sighs. We do well to sigh over the abominations of our heart and our sins. But, O Lord, oh, do bring us closer to thee, larger communion. Let me prove with thee, blessed object of my love. But oh, for this no power of I, my strength is at thy feet to lie. Help us to fall down flat before thy face. Plead in Jesus' name. Nothing else, Lord, as we have sung, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. What language? Helpless. What an awful feeling is helplessness. Oh, help us then, we pray. Oh, help us to be looking to the cross. Help us to be coming, looking unto Jesus. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me. Oh, may we know the washing touch. Lord, we don't seek massive, great experiences. We seek mercy, a knowledge of truth in thy salvation. A touch will do, just a touch. Touch us with thy love. O foul light of the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Do look down in mercy upon us in this service this evening. Please condescend to us. Who are we to ask? We deserve not the least of thy mercies, Lord. Oh, yet thou hast been good. We must say it. We must say it. We would gladly say it. Would say it with thanksgiving. Thou art good to us. Yet, Lord, oh, what a wandering, forgetful mind. Yet thou changest not. That is the sinner's hope. In thy unchangeableness, thy promise must be sure. Thy blessing must live for ever and ever. But, oh, help us to come to thy house this evening in all humility, with that spirit of prayer and that watching and waiting for thee. Do bless thy word. Lord, many will bless themselves with imaginations, but bless thy word to us. Increase our faith. May faith be mingled, mixed in worship and in prayer and in hearing and in speaking. Faith, the gift of God. Help us to realize it's all of grace, nothing of the creature, nothing of us. Lord, it's all sweet mercy. And that puts the coming one in the lowest place. It doesn't matter if we're less than the least of all saints. Ah, but if that grace is given, oh, do give us that grace now. We may sit at Jesus' feet, even we might seem to be afar off, one glimpse, one touch. Or remember the friends here. Bless this house of prayer. Remember our dear friends that hold office. Strengthen them and bless them in it. One in his lonely pathway, we would especially remember, but them both, as they bear the responsibility, care of this house of prayer, and no doubt many supporting them in different roles. O Lord, do bless thy word in this place. Help thy servants that come. Let there be that message from heaven. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people. But now the psalmist continues, let them not return again to folly, to their own ways, their own understanding, Lord, their own chosen pathway. May we be among those who are led of thee. Lord, lead us on in the pathway thou hast appointed, and do make that way plain. Jesus only, Jesus only, the only plain way. Oh, but do give us much grace and much patience in exercise to wait thy appearing. So bless this church here and congregation. Keep them together in thy fear. Oh, if they are taught of thee, they will abhor themselves in dust and ashes and esteem the brethren better than themselves. Let this grace be in the midst. Bless the minister of the word as already requested. Help thy servants. May the word go forth with life and power. Remember all senior ones, aged ones, increasing years, increasing infirmities. Lord, shine unto the end. Remember all in middle life, heat, burden of the day, business, responsibilities. Help them daily to cast all upon thee. May they prove thy goodness with them. May they at times be unable to render thanks for opening their eyes on the wise direction to take. Remember younger friends. We think of the children, the Sunday school, and those growing up into adolescence and adulthood. Oh, we pray for them. Call them. May they hear thy voice. Do bless them, we pray. Oh, bless the young people. Those away at this time, do remember them where they are. Grant that safe return. Remember all that are lonely. Loneliness is a hard thing to bear, Lord. Oh, but may they have a sense of thy hand with them, that thou art with them. Cheer them, cheer them in the gospel with thy word, even in a personal way. Oh, do remember all in distress and lonely. Remember one in Bethesda at this time, in her condition. Pray kindly, tenderly for her. Help her, Lord. Do touch her heart. Dear Lord Jesus, have compassion on her and manage her case, we pray. And so we will pray for each, young and old. O Lord, those who may feel ashamed, those who feel their sinnership, Lord, may they see the fountain opened. May the streams reach their soul that make glad the city of God. So, Lord, we pray for each. Remember us in Zion, our own group of churches. Do return to us in the ministry of the word. Oh, do have mercy on our churches. Help thy servants. Remember the editors of our denominational magazines. Strengthen them in their labour and work. Secretaries of our charitable societies. Oh, dear Lord, do remember each of thy servants and help thy dear people in this solemn day. Remember thy one spiritual Israel in this land and through the earth. The missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Many in deprivation, famine, affliction, war, persecution, genocide. We've no idea how they suffer. Oh, how we pray for thy people in distress in the earth. Oh, bless the missionaries. Bless thy gospel. Remember thy people in Ukraine under bombardment. Give our Western leaders wisdom at this serious time of threatening in this earth. Stay the hand of the aggressor. Hear the cries of thy people. Remember those under persecution in China. We think of the poverty of Africa and other parts and persecutions. Lord, all thy people, may how they need thee. May they receive the blessing in reality. Oh, do be with each, we pray. We have to pray for our nation, our country. Have mercy on England. Remember our Prime Minister and our rulers. We're exhorted to pray for them. Raise up men, leaders of integrity in Parliament. Give them wisdom what to do. Oh, Lord. Oh, bring us as a nation to repentance. Remember our King. Pray for him. May responsibility turn him to prayer. Oh, Lord, that there may be those raised up in Parliament, might be praying souls. There are those that do fear thy name, but there are few and far between. Raise up others. Lord, above all, we need the gospel. Raise up those who go forth out of Zion, as in former years, to declare the whole counsel of God, sound the alarm, blow the gospel trumpet. O Lord, do send labourers out from Zion into towns and villages and through the land, if it is thy will. Lengthen out to our Protestant heritage, the civil and religious liberties. Yet we realise we've still much, much, much to be thankful for in this land, and we would acknowledge it and pray thee continue these mercies to us nationally. We must and would thank thee for all thy mercies to us. Abundance of supply, helps by the way, answers to prayer, tokens for good. But all we so need thee to be with us. All we want a felt sense of thy presence with us. All without thee we wander off, Lord. Keep us in thy fear. All we do acknowledge so many mercies. Personal mercies, spiritual mercies. Lord, we have a throne of grace. The Saviour's blood to plead. May we be doing it in heart. Oh, thy precious blood to plead. Oh, help us to realise its value, its efficacy, its righteousness, its peace. Oh, Lord, we do plead thy dying love and the power of thy resurrection, these spiritual gospel mercies of our great high priest, Jesus the Saviour. O we, great God of heaven, thine only begotten Son, whom thou didst send, so we acknowledge so many mercies. Now, Lord, what wait we for? Our hope is in thee. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. O Holy Spirit, come. O anoint the word with the dew of heaven. Anoint our souls. Let us worship in spirit and in truth. Now we fall down before thee. Anything we've omitted to pray for, any friend, any circumstance which has failed to come to our attention, or do make up in giving. Send answers of peace. Lord Jesus, we come with the women of Canaan. Lord, help me. And it is a constant prayer. Lord, help me. And a pardon, forgive, bless, save unto the uttermost. Forsake me not, O God. Thou hast been our help. Leave us not, neither forsake us. Blessed Spirit, be dew, come into our midst. Jesus, shine in our souls. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We ask salvation, eternal life, blessing now on the word to our hearts, thy love to be shed abroad in our souls forever. We ask all these things through the glory grace of thine only begotten Son, Jesus, whom thou didst send. We ask these great mercies and favours and the pardon and blessing of our sins put away and eternal life. We plead before the throne for Jesus Christ's sake these blessings. Amen.
Hymn 534. Mercy speaks by Jesus' blood. Hear and sing, ye sons of God. Justice satisfied indeed. Christ has full atonement made. Hymn 534.
in complete dependence upon the Lord. For needed help and blessing, I draw your attention to the chapter we read, the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3, and verses 22 and 23. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We need to read the Word of God, not just in an historical sense, considering Judah of old and their neo-apostasy from the right way. And as we read these lamentations, we realise the severity of God upon them for their sins. You know, be sure your sins will find you out. And they do, in God's time and way. Yeah, but we need to consider our own case, our own heart. And we have to say, all of us surely, if grace is given, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Can you honestly say that from your heart? It is, as John Newton says, amazing grace. And it is. John Newton knew it because of his previous life, of course. We haven't necessarily gone down that route. Maybe we've been a steady sort of chap. But dear friends, is there divine teaching of our lost condition? And God hates pride. He hates us thinking well of ourselves, or that we might think well of him rather than ourselves, thinking we're doing quite well. Well, it may be our thoughts tonight to consider this word and may it be applied to our hearts. Well, as we said, dear Jeremiah, lamenting the destruction of the city. God's fire had come down and set the burnt offerings alight. And the house was filled with glory at the dedication. But look at how they went on after so many years. They had some good, very good kings. They had some part good kings. They had some evil kings. And no doubt the priesthood was the same. But the Lord marked them after so many mercies, turning aside. Now, I'm not laying the law down here and saying there's anyone in that condition here. But do we know the plague of our own heart? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. What's the other part? To be carnally minded is death. What does death mean? Destruction. Judgment. And that was the very beginning, from the very beginning of time. God drove them out of paradise because of disobedience. You know, never be pleased with your religion or your meditation. Be thankful to him. Praise him. Let the Lord have all the glory and honour and all the praise. May we never be complacent in our pathway. There's a danger there, you know. I'm not the only one that said this. Others of God's people have said this to me. How there is after the Lord has favoured you, there is a danger of settling down on your knees and enjoying it. The Lord has been good, but there's a daily battle. You've got a daily enemy. Friend, there's daily temptations. There's daily earthly allurements. How we need to be kept humble, looking unto Jesus. And no man can keep this alive in our own soul. But may we have been able to say, with Jeremiah amidst this. Now, there was a foundation here for this statement. Jeremiah saw anew, and others of the godly exercised ones did. The Lord had promised a deliverance out of this destruction. And every child of God, taught of the Spirit, knows there is a hope in the end, a future. A child of God has a future. If the Lord has blessed you, I know that's tried. I know it's tried. There is a time when you will see his face with joy. Here Jeremiah was lamenting. He could hardly consider it. You know, the awful abominations that were committed in the sanctuary. And the sanctuary being quite shut up as well at times. You know, the Lord has made known his judgments. And that house of God destroyed. Jerusalem a ruin. And Jeremiah hated. Here he says, in the midst of his lamenting, and may we have been able to say in every respect, it is of the Lord's mercies. We're not consumed. Look at the word. What does consumed mean? Destroyed. Are you on praying ground? Friend, it's of the Lord's mercies. We've still got a throne of grace to go to. It's of the Lord's mercies. We've still got a Bible in our home. Don't take it for granted. It's of the Lord's mercies. We've still got the sanctuary to go to. And above all, well, a God that changes not. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Friend, don't just think, well, we know all this, do you? Do you really? I know it. Friend, I know it in my head. It's a great mercy when your heart opens up to receive the gospel and the word of God and to realize personally, personal mercies, I'm not consumed. Friend, it's a miracle. I don't want to talk about myself, but I am speaking in a sense about myself. It's a miracle I've not been consumed. Anyone with me tonight? Am I alone? I don't want. It'd be nice to think there are those who understood me. But, dear friend, there's a way of escape. He's made a way of escape. There is hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. I'm not consumed. Corrected, judged, dealt with, the rod, trial, humbling, but we're not consumed. When you realise, well, perhaps I am alone here. What an awful heart I've got. Well, it really is of the Lord's mercies. I have not been consumed. Can you say this, Jeremiah? It's the Lord's mercies. I know he's speaking collectively concerning Judah of old. They were pretty well destroyed, weren't they? But they weren't obliterated. There was a remnant. They're in captivity. They were bearing the yoke for their sin, a punishment. They hadn't been consumed. Well, is it the Lord's mercies? It is the Lord's mercies. We're not consumed, not destroyed. He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to it. It needs much grace to say that. He's not rewarded us, me, you, according to our sins, nor dealt with us according to our iniquities. We'd have been consumed. Why? We then have a description of the grace of God. One of the glorious attributes of Jehovah. His compassions fail not. Because, this is the reason, his compassions. Now, someone who needs compassion surely must be in a great strait, in a low place. There's someone who is in some serious condition. Do you know what it is to have to cry to the Lord? Have compassion on me, Lord. Hymn writer says, compassionate our case. Friend, we need the Lord's compassion. Jesus, God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquities, full of compassion. Full of compassion. And to his people, God, by his innate person being, those compassions cannot fail. That's his nature. So wonderful mercy. You don't know how favoured you are if you have that hope you're one of his. His compassions will never fail towards you, even though you feel they might do, they ought to do, that you deserve them to do. They cannot fail towards you if you're his. Such is the nature of the love of God. But Jeremiah was brought low. In fact, Jeremiah rightly was called the weeping prophet. I mean, poor man, it is believed he was murdered really down in Egypt, but it depends what line of history you might be reading. But one thing, he's in glory. That we do know. Well, God's compassions fail not. What sort of compassions do you need? Look at your thoughts today. Look at your pathway. Look at your concerns. Look at the prayers you've made personally about yourself, your pathway, your never dying soul. Pleading his word, perhaps, dear friend, and yet here we have the prophet saying, it's of his mercies we're not consumed. And he makes this statement, his compassions fail not. They're still flowing. This means continuing. Have you known any this last week? Even in a small thing. Friend, God's people get into deep waters and they wonder where the seam will end. But may it be a wonderful remembrance that his compassions fail not. And he does hear them. Now, let us consider this. You know, Calvary, the Lord Jesus dying, it's something you as a child of God will turn to. You will be turning to the Lord Jesus. You will be turning to the cross. You will be pleading Jesus dying on behalf of your life, for your eternal life. You will be confessing your sins with many things we could say here as we go to the Lord in soul exercise. Much abhorrence of self. But, dear friend, look at the compassion that reaches us today of God. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Saviour. And it's a compassion of the Lord to make you value it in your heart, that you're able to come and plead it. Have you felt the wonders of his dying and love? Friend, it is because his compassion's fail not. He's given you a hope in it, a place to go to. Under the shadow of his cross. Friend, there your soul would find security. There you would hide under the shadow. Now, the shadow, of course, speaks of a nearness. You may not feel to be near, but it's under the shadow of the gospel preached. The shadow of the gospel preached, the cross of Christ. Paul was determined to know nothing among the Corinthians save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Though he was in weakness and so forth, it was the power of the Spirit there under the shadow of the cross. Well, friend, what compassion it is to us that Christ bled, groaned, died, bore the reproach of what? Not just sin. The sins of the praying soul, the sins of the needy soul, the sins of the weeping soul, the sins of the seeking soul, the sins of the longing soul. Are you a longing sinner? Are you a weeping sinner? Are you a coming sinner? Are you a repenting sinner? Daily. Well, Calvary, he died there. But to put away these sins. Friend, and his compassions fail not in making you so need him. And so keeping you alive to your need of him daily. There is his compassions found. Also, we must consider in other ways. Dear friend, his word to your soul. When the Lord speaks, it becomes a living word to your soul, doesn't it? There's one thing to consider Christ, which is very wonderful, to meditate upon him, friend, but also he favours his people with a word in season. And you, how did you know it was the word of the Lord? None speaks like him. It put matters right. It was peace. He came where you were in a low place and strengthened your heart with that promise, that word, to continue. Dear friend, what a wonderful thing that word spoken of God abideth forever. You know, we know in the scripture, the word of the Lord abideth forever. Yes, it does, of course, the end of time, in that general sense. I'm not disagreeing with it, it's right. But it abideth forever in your heart. By and by it will be revived. How many of you have forgotten some things? And in some circumstance, it's come back. It's come back. And you needed it to come back. Then they remember the words of the Lord, the dear disciples. They remembered what Jesus had said. They sort of lying dormant, as lost out of sight because of circumstances in the path they were in. Oh, dear friend, his compassions fail not in what he has said to your heart, your soul. And there's no word like this, is there? I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Can there be a better word in the Word of God? It's what's made precious to you, of course, dear friends. I acknowledge that. You know, the Word he's caused you hope is very precious to your soul. But I'm speaking in a gospel sense. What a great word that is. Fear not, I've redeemed thee. Fear not all you're passing through. Fear not the treachery of your heart. You feel it's going to get hold of you one day. David thought he'd die by the hand of Saul, but he didn't. Do you fear? Look at dear Peter. Now, you take Peter's case. He was a bit overconfident, wasn't he? He was a bit... That trust was a bit too much in himself. But then the Lord gave him the trust after he made the mistake. How wonderful is God's word, but fear not, for I redeem thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. His compassions fail not. Do you pray with the psalmist in that long psalm? Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. How many times have you prayed it? Continually. Friend, and that shows the word is abiding with you, even though it may not always be in mind. It is there, and you remember it, and you plead it again. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath made me alive, or quickened me is the word, but the meaning, made me alive, brought me into life, brought me life. The gospel brought me life. His compassions fail not. Dear friends, another matter. We all have an hour before us. An hour, a moment, perhaps a twinkling of an eye, when we've got to leave this earth. And you cannot give yourself preparation. You know, we all know about it. Everyone in the chapel knows all about that. We're going to die, aren't we? We know all about it. But are we being prepared? Well, his compassions fail not. You think of all our heart wanderings. You think of all the busy scenes of today. When your mind's concentrated, let's say 100%, you've had to be. Got your wits about you, had to be concentrating. Yet, his compassions fail not. He's prepared a day of salvation for us, despite all we're involved in here, and at times, not really in a spirit of prayer, having a thought for him. We do in the back of our mind, but no exercise perhaps for a few hours. Yet, he has done a full work. I go to prepare. He has gone to prepare a place. If Jesus had not gone to prepare a place, there'd be no place for us. And and he'd never come and receive us unto himself. And he has. And he's gone to prepare a place. Friend, there is a day before us. A day of departure. At when we shall have to die. How do we feel about that tonight? There are some, I expect, here who look back and say, in that hour, I felt ready to go. In that hour, I could die. But that was in the hour when the Lord favoured you. And when we come to die, we're going to need that favour, because death is very solemn. Very serious. You cannot give yourself grace. No man can keep alive his own soul, but he is faithful. Paul was confident, this very thing. He that had begun the good work. What a mercy, there's a good work begun. But you didn't begin it. He did. He brought you to need him. He brought you to cry for him. But, and you're still crying the same mercy, the same grace, the same love, the same Jesus, aren't you? Why? Because he's a living, glorious person. And grace is a living, glorious principle. Friend, he will prepare us the hour. And he's faithful. And he knows how you feel about dying. His compassion's found on. He knows how you feel about your sins. He knows how you fear to come to the end and be deserted. His compassions fail not. It's of the Lord's mercies we've not been cut off and consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They cannot fail because God cannot fail. The gospel cannot fail in its blessing upon poor sinners below because the Lord is almighty. He is God. I wonder how many of us really understand God, his nature, his immensity. And if you've had some light, friend, it's little light, it is a little light compared to the immensity of divine power, divine authority, divine being, isn't it? We forget, but what a precious glimpse it is in Jesus. Friend, all seen in one glorious person. One glorious person. The Lamb once slain, now exalted. What a glory of God there is in Jesus. The Lamb once slain, now exalted on high. Well, his compassions fail not because he is the Lord, because he is God. Well, here, Jeremiah goes on in these lamentations, making a statement concerning these compassions and the Lord's mercies were not consumed. He speaks of here, they are new every morning. You know, day and night, you know, we can be too clever in our own understanding. Day and night cease not. Why? You know, they speak, daylight speaks of something. Night, darkness speaks of. I know in this modern age there's lots of street lamps and so forth and artificial lights, but going back before this science, this wonderful science which we enjoy today, and there are many mercies in it. You know, darkness was darkness. In looking in More Than Notion just recently, there, Josh Alexander explains how a night was so dark in all those homes in Pulverback and so forth, just the tallow or the little candle, whatever it was, little lamp, and it was complete darkness. It's something we don't know today in our own home. There's always some little light on in the kitchen or something glowing somewhere, isn't there? Dear friend, the night. Watchman, what of the night? It speaks spiritually. Daylight. Are you among those that look for that spiritual morning? More than they that watch for the morning. Are you looking for the heavenly morning? The shining of God in your soul. What a difference. What a difference. They are new every morning. Every morning. Friend, and although we don't, when we go to bed, we don't know whether we shall see the earthly morning, do we? But as spared in health and strength, you know that when you go to sleep, there will be a morning. Oh, dear friends. Oh, for that sweet hope. There's a new morning. Mr. Herbert Dawson, I heard say many years ago outside Bounds Cross Bindon in conversation to someone else. He obviously was attending the service there. I think it was Mr. Wood preaching, I think. That doesn't matter. I heard him say, well, it was saying good night to someone, then the conversation ran round to good morning and good night. He said this. He said, in that day, what a good morning it will be. He says, beyond our understanding, it really will be good morning. Friend, what a glorious morning it will be. They are new. Now, he says here, every morning. This speaks of the daily routine. Friend, they are new every morning, aren't they? They're new every morning. And you think of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Samuel, David, the prophets, whoever, some of the good kings, they proved every morning the Lord was good, didn't they? That they proved it so. You know, if the Lord has said to you, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he won't. Friend, and in covenant, that is a declaration to the whole church. The Lord may not apply that word to your soul, but it is true. But of course, the word we live on is what the Lord's made a blessing to us. But it is a fact. He cannot forsake. The Lord will not forsake his people. Now, these compassions that fail not, the provision of the throne of grace, the blessing of his word, the angel of his presence, his covenant love, his sweet promise, and the prospect of that good hope through grace, they are new every morning. Now, they may not come every morning, but they're there. Friend, we look for those renewed mercies every day, don't we? We look for them. You know, it's a wonderful thing. We have that little experience sometimes where you get up and realise, well, the Lord is with me. It was as if God got up with you or rose you out of your bed and went with you. Other times you wake up and it's tribulation, sorrow, oh, grief, the gulf, the sinking in your very soul. And it is nothing. Where's the Lord? Well, dear friend, his mercies are still new every morning. They're still there. It's to have them shining, isn't it? It's to have the touch. It's to have realised that he is over you. Well, they are new every morning. Now, they're not new mercies. They're the old mercies. You might have have another word in that sense, a new promise applied to you. I've known it. I'm sure some of you have. Another word given of encouragement. But dear friends, it's the same grace, the same love, the same covenant compassion that continues. Those former visits here in you, is that your cry? You want them revived again. Friend, it's not just the blessing that flows. It's where it comes from. It's from the Lord where it comes from. He's the one that changes not. He might give a word one day and another word another day. But it's still the same compassion, the same grace, the same love. And they are new every morning. His watchfulness, his care, but what about that eternal love? What about that hope for heaven? Friend, when we're younger, we have many needs, and there's young friends here, and I quite understand that you have your needs, you have your thoughts, and you want the Lord in the pathway and so forth, but when we get older, and may you be spared to get older, under grace and blessing, there's only one thing left. Only one thing left. Prepare me, gracious God, that great day. How shall I do in the swellings of Jordan? Or to see his face? Oh, dear friends, his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. He knows what you need tomorrow. He knows how you will get up. He knows tomorrow's cares that will hit you. You may not. You may go to bed tonight. Sometimes you've gone to bed dreading the morrow. I'm sure some of you have known that. I have. But those mercies are new every morning. You might dread the morrow. Sometimes we watch for the morning through the darkness of the night, longing for the day dawning. But sometimes we dread at what might lie ahead, that great trial ahead, or that confrontation, or that meeting. Well, because his compassions fail not. What a word, compassion. They are new every morning. They will flow. You will discover it. You will prove it. How often have you been facing something? The Lord has brought you right through. Something just quickly comes to mind. I might have said this before. I remember in a meeting. I was in a meeting. And I was actually had to be praying. I was actually lifting up my heart to God. And Richard Jackson, who was taking it, he noticed. He said, "What do you think, John?" He got me. Do you know, I gave exactly the right answer. I hadn't got a clue what he was talking about. Another thing, my father was a humble man. He couldn't really read music, although he played a violin, but more by ear than anything else. And he was asked at a Thanksgiving service at Maystone to lead the singing. The two that were usually led the singing weren't there. And there was one or two meters that he didn't know very much about. And Mr. Gosden, the last moment, just the end of the sermon, Mr. Delves was preaching, Jesse Delves, just handed him of him. And he was flabbergasted. And he had to stand up. He said, "Lord, help me." And he started to tune, didn't know what it was, and still doesn't know, and he went perfect to it. His compassions, they're simple things. I've given you simple illustrations, but don't throw them away. They are new every morning. Now look at this last word. Great is thy faithfulness. Far greater than you and I can comprehend. Far greater. Faithfulness in the covenant of grace. Faithfulness in his promise. Faithfulness in his love. Ah, I know you won't give me a token of thy love. Speak a word. Speak a promise. But have you had the touch? Have you had the blessing? Great is thy faithfulness. Beloved friends, that greatness will be proved. You will discover the greatness of the faithfulness. The greatness of the faithfulness is as great as God is. And who can measure him? Who can measure God? Friend, who can measure the stars and space? Great, and his faithfulness is as great, immeasurable. It cannot be measured. Friend, and faithfulness to his poor worms, his poor weeping people, those little humble nobodies that drag themselves along to chapel sometimes. Or do you feel to be such a hypocrite? Or do you feel to be less than the least of all? Friend, you know, some people say things, "Oh, I'm less than the least of all." If they were, they wouldn't say it. They would feel it painfully. Friend, to be less than the least of all saints is a painful place. And to be a nobody, dear friends, to our pride and to our person is a painful place, but it's a good place. You're coming where Jesus came, you know, in suffering. Or consider his humility. Consider him. Consider his sorrow. But look, he was faithful unto death. Faithful unto death. faithful to his Father, friend and the dear Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God was faithful to the church in sending him. Jesus was faithful in dying to put away our sin. Held that cup to drink, he knew not. How could he? The thing he abhorred, the sin he hated, now to be charged with it, to drink the cup. Well, Christ is faithful in dying for us. But here we have his grace explained, his love explained, his mercy explained. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, dear friends, you can't begin to work it out. And it wouldn't be a good thing to try to. What a wonderful thing it is when you believe it. When you begin to enter into it. When it begins to touch you. When you realise that great faithfulness keeps you going every day. Friend, and his word is true. God is true. As John writes and says at the end of his gospel, and is true concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, great is thy faithfulness. When you think of your unfaithfulness, when you think of your wretchedness, when you think of your changes, my changes, not you, me, when we think of what we're like, well, great is thy faithfulness. Poor dear Jeremiah. I mean, there is lament. I mean, it's called the Lamentations. And there was a lamenting. The sins of the people and the daughters of Jerusalem being ripped up and so forth. And the destruction of the city. It was a lament. It was a lament. Friend, but in our lamenting over our sins and our grief and our untowardness before God, what can we say? Great is thy faithfulness. Abraham proved it, didn't he? David proved it. The Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. You know, we read that when the prophet went to him, Nathan, and concerning the sin of Bathsheba and Uriah. You know, he had a conviction. He realized, thou the man. It suddenly hit him. I'm guilty of death here. After all the Lord's mercies, I'm guilty of death. You think how the Lord had blessed David. Thou art the man. But the Lord said through Nathan, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Dear friends, has the Lord put away your sin? Have you hope? Are you pleading it? Friend, has Jesus been made precious to your soul? The forgiveness of your sins is made precious at the same time. It may not have spoken the word about your sins forgiven you, but the truth in Jesus made that precious. You had that hope that it was. Great is thy faithfulness. Friend, and he's faithful to his word and his love and his grace to all his people. He's faithful to us now. Friend, he'll be faithful to you tomorrow. Well, this is the word. I had another word to come here with, but on the drive up, how this kept pressing me, as I've had to venture with it. Well, dear friends, truly, it is of the Lord's mercies. We're not consumed. It really is, you know. It really is. And what a wonderful mercy it is. And we can say, how can it continue? But it will. I don't say that boldly, wrongly. This is the Lord's word, not mine. It must continue and will continue. Because his compassions, tender care, down, friend, he doesn't. God, the Holy God of heaven, and Lord Jesus, they do not despise a poor, tender, weeping, fearful soul. What they abhor is the proud soul, especially in religion, the proud heart in religion, or the poor, weeping one. They're loved. Look at what Jesus is reduced to. You know, he began to be fearful and sore afraid. Oh, the dear Redeemer, who took the cup of trembling. And we know why, of course, but here's that poor soul, that little one in Zion, that one who always sits in the corner, hoping there'll be hope, pleading for grace before your wretchedness. Well, the Lord is full of compassion. He doesn't despise you. He came to redeem. Because his compassions upon his little ones, his poor ones, his weeping ones, his weak ones, his sorrowing ones, fail not. They don't fail. Friend, and we then prove, and I'm sure you have, they are new every morning. See, the nature of God doesn't change by day, by night. They're new. It means they're regarded, they come as new. They're seen as new. And they're realized as new. Every morning, the same. It's the new morning, the new day. The new circumstances of another day. It's the same compassions. Completely different circumstances. Completely different scenes. Yet it's the same grace. The same love in all your various changes. But spiritually, that grace, that love, that forgiveness, that atonement, it comes, it's new every morning. Friend, it may not be applied particularly, but it's discovered again. It's there when you wake up. You may not feel it, may not see it, but there it is. We think of the fiery, cloudy pillar. I must close. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Sadler is expected to preach next Lord's Day in the evening, and Mr. Wheatley again next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 827. 827. Suffering Saviour, Lamb of God, how hast thou been used? With the Almighty's wrathful rod, soul and body bruised. Hymn 827.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide upon us each, now, forever. Amen.